glad for, how many's glad for God's mercy?
Amen.
I've had a different song I was going to sing. My wife suggested we sing this, and we have practiced this a long time. We'll say, I'm thankful, Adam, for the word of God. I'm thankful that God sent a prophet.
Amen.
I'm thankful for a revelation of who he was.
Right.
He was a voice sent from God. Some mistake of saying that was God. Some say he was infallible. That's not right. I'm glad that, you know, where did I learn it? Did I learn it up here? No, God gave it to me. Aren't you glad for the truth of where we can stand? You know what? It's, this thing is winding up. We officially go home.
Amen.
Live with all my heart.
Thank you. song service.
Amen.
The musicians, yes, take their seats. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
How many believes you're going into rapture?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And no doubt.
Because if there's only one person in Arkansas going, it's going to be me.
That's the attitude
we should have. So, amen. Yes, I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. My voice is a little bit stuffy, but the Lord will take care of that and overcome that. So we just trust.
That's right. That's right.
I want to thank everybody that was at their post of duty last week while I was gone to Indiana. Just appreciate everybody being here and doing their job and doing their part.
Praise the Lord.
I don't go away often, but it's good to know that whenever you do, that everybody will just continue on. And,
that's right.
And thank Brother Jonathan Goff for coming up and ministering for us.
Praise the Lord.
And got good reports on that. I listened to it myself and enjoyed it, so as we were traveling. So just thank you for that.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Got a little bit of a lengthy reading this morning, but we can read the Word of God, and we can close our Bibles and go home and still be blessed.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.
Come on now.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And then I want to go to St. John chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 22. I mean, he's thankful for the word of God.
Amen.
The living word.
Amen.
St. John chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you shall remember, you may remember that I told you them. And these things said I not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go unto the Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while? You shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me. Now this part coming up is the text that Brother Branham used in Birth Pains. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. We just pray now. Lord, as we come to this portion of your word, yes, we want to thank you because of all that you've done for us, yes, Lord. God, for us to know that in this end time that you are still God, you're still set on your throne.
That's right. That's right.
Lord, you can still do all the things that you promised. You can't fail. And so, Lord, we are just so thankful to know that when this world is falling apart and everything around us is just going, coming loose at the seams, Lord, we realize that we can trust you, believe you, rely on you. God, that you're able to stop wars, you're able to heal the sicknesses,
right,
and raise,
right,
the dead, and you're able to turn governments. We know that you're able to do that, Lord, and we trust you. And know that as the events on the horizon are unfolding, God, that your hand is in it and that your perfect will is still being accomplished.
Yes.
We pray, God, that you would just lift us up into the revelation of your thinking, God, that we can look through your eyes and rejoice as we see these things coming. And as this world is falling apart, that we can lift up our heads and look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. We pray, God, this morning that you will impart your word into our hearts, that you would lift us up in your presence. And Lord, may we not fail to give you honor and praise that belongs to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. As always, when we stand up here and minister the Word of God, we're always, at least for me, I'm always wanting to make sure that you see your hour, the time that you're living in right now, and what we're sharing. Because, believe it or not, all of Scripture in the Bible now is seen through end time perspective.
Right.
You know, you could look at it, maybe Luther could read a Scripture in his day, or Wesley in their day, and they will look through the eyes of the message that they had at that time. And that's
right,
all the seeing that they had. So that's all they could see was the depth of that revelation,
right,
would provide them.
That's right.
But when we get to the end time where we've got the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication,
yeah,
and all that's present now, the full revelation of Jesus Christ is here. Now when we look at the scriptures, we see it through end time eyes. And all scriptures to us now speak end time things to us.
That's right.
And so when we preach and we look at these things, we want everyone to be able to catch it, what it means to us, and
right,
what these scriptures,
right,
are saying,
that's
to,
right,
us in this day.
That's right.
And so all scriptures are seen through the end time eyes. We see here in the scripture, and we didn't read it, but I'll refer to it. I know you're familiar with it. That Jesus said, you know, in St. John chapter 6, he was there and was the people were hungry. He fed them, the fishes and the loaves, and then he went away into a mountain, and his disciples got on a boat and crossed over the sea, and then Jesus came walking to them,
right,
on the water that night, and came in and went on to the other side. Well, there were people over here that had been blessed with all the fishes and the loaves and the healings and all that kind of thing. They got on boats looking for Jesus, and they went across, and when they got over there, they saw that he was there, and they said, you know what? We know that when the disciples left in this boat and went, Jesus was not in that boat. And yet now we've come over here and he's over here. So how did he get here? This is what they were saying. And so when they got there, that's the first thing they said, Master, how did you get here? Because he knew he wasn't on those boats, right? And so Jesus' response to them, he said, you seek me because of the fishes and the loaves and so forth. And he said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but that meat which endures to everlasting life. And so when he said to them, you seek me because of the fishes and loaves, or because of you were being filled, you know, he's saying to them, you are seeking me because of Everything that my presence and everything that my message does to minister to your flesh, to the natural, you know, you love the healings, you love the food, you love those sorts of things, you love the fellowship, you love the good time that you have in the presence of the Word. Everybody follow me?
We do.
We love it. We love the good things. We love the rejoicing. We love the meetings where it just seems like there's angels sitting on every windowsill. We love that, right? And God has those things for us. Brother Brown talked about feeling the presence, you know, how do you feel the Spirit of the Lord, but he also spoke of a presence that was awesome, and a presence that would almost take you completely out of the room, a presence that would make you feel almost, you'd fall dead, as it were. So there's different levels of presence of God. And so he says here that you're seeking me because you like the things that are in the natural, the minister to the natural, to those things.
Right.
But he's admonishing them, what you need to be following me for, what you need to be seeking after, is not all the blessings on the flesh. Like Brother Brown said, you could be healed today and you could still die tomorrow.
Right.
And we praise God for healing, and we want those things because there are promises there in the scriptures for us. But that's not what we want to be seeking after mostly.
Yeah.
Brother Ram said that healing was a minor.
Right.
Divine healings, that's a minor.
Yes,
well, my brother, sister, I want to ask you, if that's a minor, what is the major?
Amen.
Yes. And so we want to be seeking after the thing that doesn't perish. Because this world perishes, you can buy a vehicle that's made out of pure stainless steel, and that thing eventually will not be anymore.
Sure.
That's enough time.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Everything in time perishes. Everything that's subject to time perishes.
That's right, brother.
Right? Yes. But God is telling us you need to seek after the thing. It's okay to have the healings and those things, but what we want to seek after more than anything else is that which perishes not,
that which
endures to everlasting life.
Amen.
And so, the Word, seeking after the Word, is the most important thing. We read here in the scripture where Martha, Jesus had come there and staying at Martha's house, and think about it. If he came to our house, I know what our sisters would be doing. Man, they'd be in the kitchen fixing the best thing they had. Right? The Master's here. They'd be in there, and his disciples, and you know that's the way it would be. We have guest ministers, and our sisters throw on they do it every week anyway, but they would really do when we have guest ministers. They have these nice meals, and so we would be doing that when Jesus was there, and you know, giving a lot of attention to that. And that's what Martha was doing. Martha was worried about, and she was going about fixing and preparing and making sure everybody got what the drink they needed and the food they needed and all those sorts of things. And she was working so hard at that that it was taxing to her. And it bothered her that her sister, who could be helping serve, wasn't. Her sister was sitting, listening to the words that came out of Jesus' mouth. And so Martha was so disturbed by it and so aggravated by it that her sister was not helping that she went to Jesus and said, "Master, you know, don't you care that I'm the one doing all the work and she's not helping? Tell her to get up and help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're so worried about these things. All this that we would say is so important. Oh, it's so important to make sure we have the natural ministered to." Right? But Jesus said, "Look, Mary has chosen, there's one thing that's needful, the needful part. And that's the good thing, and that's what she has, that's what she's setting before. She's chosen that. She's chosen the thing that is needful. This other stuff's not needful necessarily. But this is the needful thing. In light of this is what is needful, is the word that was coming out of Jesus' mouth. And so, no matter how wonderful things get, no matter how big revivals we have, how prosperous time gets, no matter how well God blesses you financially or whatever it is, with long health, long life, with big family, whatever it is.
Right.
No matter what all that is,
there's
something that's more needful.
Right.
And that's the thing that we want to chase after and follow after and let everything else go to the wayside, because it's going to go to the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And yet we take such good care of this, or we should be, right, in the natural. You take care of it, you're worried about it. But if we would give as much care to the things of God as we do to the natural, it'd be a different story.
Right.
And so we see this here in the scriptures. So no matter how wonderful it gets, there's a needful part that we need to pay attention to. And that's the thing that's most important. So in the scriptures here in St. John chapter 16, Jesus began to tell his disciples things that they needed to hear.
Right.
And he said, I haven't told you these things all along because I've been with you. But now as I'm fixing to leave, I've got to tell you some things that you're going to need. Because once I go, you're going to go through some things. And so I'm telling you some stuff now that you will remember at that time. And then at that time when this happens, you will not be offended. So he tells them that I don't want you to be offended, because the scripture tells us, especially in end time scriptures, Matthew 24, where Brother Branham was showing how the Lord preached the seals in Matthew 24, that it said right there that many shall be offended. And blessed is he, as the scripture said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. When he was talking about John the Baptist, paralleling the ministry we have today. And go tell John the Baptist all the things that you see. The blind have received their sight, and the lame walk, and so forth. And blessed is he who's not offended in me. This was the message Jesus sent back to John. They bring that parallel today, that he would say to us, Jesus speaking through the word back to us believers under the ministry of our John the Baptist, our Elijah.
Right.
Blessed is he who's not offended in me.
Right?
And the scripture said that in there will be time that many shall be offended. But he's telling the disciples, and we understand that God does not want us to be offended. And what's he talking about? Being offended at. And it's talking about being offended at what the word brings to pass in our midst. Because there's things that God has to let come to pass in our lives that's not so wonderful.
Yeah.
Things that doesn't minister so much to the flesh, but without doubt ministers to the soul, is working the plan of God to our soul, to our eternal destination. That's the thing that's always constantly working, because that's the needful part. And so Jesus is telling the disciples that I'm telling you these things, and I'm telling you this is going to happen so that when it happens, you can look back and you can remember that I told you, and so that at that time you won't be offended when things get hard. Because the things getting hard have to come. It's important and it's imperative, and it cannot happen without it. And this is what he's telling them. So don't be offended at what the word brings to pass in your life. You think about the people that live there in Jerusalem, the believers, and the scriptures, Jesus telling them that when you see the armies gather around Jerusalem, you flee to the mountains and you pray that it not be on the Sabbath, and pray that it's not in wintertime.
Right.
And so you do these things and you flee, and you flee so quickly that you don't even look back. Just get gone. Right? And so he's telling them that. And so think about those believers. Those believers lived there. They had homes there, had family there, they had friends, business acquaintances. And here's Jesus telling them that when you see certain things happen, you leave these things that you're so entrenched in, that you're so bound to, that this is my life, this is my job, this is my fellowship, this is my friends. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but you got to walk away from it. When these times strike, you've got to leave. And you do it quickly. Brother Graham said the Holy Spirit wants you to respond to him when he speaks, when he wants you. When you feel that tug, move.
Right. That's right.
Move whenever you feel the Lord dealing with your heart.
Yes.
Be responsive to him.
That's good.
And so Jesus said, when you see this time happen, you get out of there and you go quickly. Because this is going to be a bad time. Because it was the days of vengeance upon that people for what they had done. And yet God's vengeance was not upon his believers. Right? But what if those believers would have stayed there? What if the believers had disobeyed the word and stayed there in Jerusalem instead of fleeing? Brother Ram, quoting history, said that Josephus said that none of those people were in there, hemmed up in there, when Titus went in there and took over. None of the believers. Because they had all obeyed, and they'd obeyed the word. But what if they had not? They'd have been caught up in the judgment that wasn't intended to them, for them, but for those who was intended. So obedience is better than sacrifice. We know that. And so he's telling them, don't be offended, because the word is telling you things that's not going to be so pleasant. That it's going to tell you you're going to endure some things that you may not like. But it's still the word. We want to obey that. There are things that today that the Lord Jesus Christ through this ministry has told us to flee from. And we're no different. Because there's judgment upon certain things. There's judgment upon certain activities. There's judgments upon thought processes. There's judgments upon circles and all kinds of things. And I'm talking about worldly stuff. And that if we go to those places and we partake of those things and we're involved in that, that judgment comes upon us because we're not supposed to be partakers of it. Right. So God still has a people that's separated, a called out people, called out from the things that he doesn't want them to be partakers of. And so don't be offended at the word. How many remembers in Revelation, the open book? Here's the book of redemption, and it's not open, and no man's even found worthy,
right,
to look upon it, much less handle it or read it or know what it means. And yet it's a book that God wrote not for him, he wrote it for us.
Right.
So that worthy people are people that he's made worthy, that they're in a position where they can look upon it, that they can handle it. But until redemption process and all the things there that comes where the Lamb takes a book, they can't even look upon it. No man was found worthy in heaven, earth, beneath the earth, Moses, Brother Branham, you, me. Nobody was found worthy. There was only one that was worthy. But after that Lamb took that book and opened those seals, you see John weeping because he couldn't look upon it, couldn't touch it. And then later on, you see where that book is now given to John. Because the angel descends, has that open and says, here, take this book, John. Take this book and eat it. Now, it's an open book now. So you realize because of the Lamb, because of the opening of the seven seals, now John, who represents the bride, can now be partakers of something in God's plan of redemption that the rest of the world can't see and can't know. But now we can, because we're now under the ministry of this end time prophet and God opening those things, the seals. So now we can take that, and he says, take that book. And now, because of redemption, now you can handle it. And not only can you handle it, you can eat it and you can digest it. And so he takes this book now that's open, and John takes it and says, give the book to me. And that's an interesting thought. John had to go and say, give me that book. Because that belongs to me now. I've been told, go take it. Now you give that to me. In other words, you want to go to God and say, give me the revelation of this hour. Because it belongs to us. Give to me that book. And John ate it, and he said it was sweet in his mouth. Sweet like honey. And all we like honey, don't we?
Right.
Sweet like honey. They tell me that honey doesn't get old, doesn't rot, doesn't, right? Because this word doesn't. And so he takes this, and it's so sweet in his mouth. And that's the good stuff, the things we like. But then John said, but when he had eaten it, it became bitter in his belly. We don't like that. The same word that's so sweet and wonderful, that we rejoice in, that blesses our flesh, gives us healing, tells us we're going to be raptured. That same word that tells us all those things also, but when it comes right down into our stomach where it's time for us to digest all the good things as the word tells us, it becomes bitter. That's scripture. But the scripture said, John, take this book he would eat it up, and he eat it up and said, because thou must prophesy before all kindred, tongues, nations, and peoples.
Right.
Now, I've said this many times before. That shows you that the Gentile dispensation is still on, because John is going and preaching to all those different peoples.
Right.
And so, and a little later in Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I mean, we were reading that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So John, take this book, be sweet, and it's going to be bitter, but then you're going to go in the strength of what you've eaten, and in that strength you're going to go and you're going to speak and prophesy to the all kindred, tongues, and nations. You're going to have a ministry worldwide where the bride is going out speaking to the world on the strength of this book that was sweet, then becomes bitter. Going to go out there and do those things. And basically they're going out and they're giving the end time testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. John's going out prophesying, speaking the word to all the world. But he does it in the strength that he received from eating that book. The only way that people could go out and preach the end time message is to eat this book, eat this revelation, this word. And then if they do that, then they can go out, and the testimony they give under that is the true testimony of Jesus Christ. But what I want to show you is that it takes both. It takes, you can't just have the sweetness and go have a true testimony of Jesus Christ. It takes the sweetness of this message, and it takes the bitterness of digesting the things that we don't necessarily like. We have to take those in also,
right.
and it takes both of those in order to go out and have the true testimony, right, of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
If we sit only in a prosperity message of the word, we're not going to give the true testimony of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But once we eat this word, and this word comes down into us, and we cope with it,
yeah,
and we digest what it says, and it becomes what we are, then when that happens, then now we can give a true testimony of Jesus Christ in his present day expression. It can come through us now, but only when we've eaten both the sweetness and the bitterness of the message. I mean, it takes both of those to have that testimony. So Jesus began to tell his disciples, he said, I'm telling you these things that you would remember. And I'm saying it like that because in our day we were told things to remember. So he's telling them that they would remember because he had to leave. And he said, you know, I have to leave. Because if I don't leave, the Comforter will not come to you. We realize that Jesus Christ in flesh, standing there, he had to go back to the pillar of fire, back to the way he was with the Father, and then return back in spirit form. Because when he was here, standing among us, the closest he could get to us is right up to us, and he could hug us, but he couldn't get in us in that form. And his desire was to leave and come back. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, for I will come to you. So he said, I cannot stay here, because as long as I stay here, the Comforter who's going to come and live in you and is going to lead you and guide you and show you things to come and lead you and guide you to truth, he can't come until I leave, because I have to change forms. So he said, I have to change forms. And so he said, I have to leave. And so he starts telling these things so they would understand that he has to leave. And there's going to be a time while he's gone. And then, of course, he'll come back in another form, into the form of the Comforter. And so it was a change of form, changing from the flesh man into the spirit. But it was a change of dispensation. A change of dispensation where Brother Man talked about was God above us, God with us, and then God in us.
Right.
And so it was a change of dispensation because that's how it really works. It has to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why I said Wednesday night that any doctrine, any teaching that tells you that it says that it that confesses not that Christ is come in the flesh, didn't say did, said is. And any doctrine, anything that teaches you, and whether it says it outright or does it through some trickery, whatever, if the end result is that it keeps you from getting Christ in you, it's Antichrist. Because that's what we have to have. There's only one form of eternal life.
Right.
And that's Him, and that's got to be in us.
Amen.
And so He provided the gospel to get that life in us. But anything else that's out there is going to cause you to have something different, another Jesus, another spirit, rather than the true spirit.
Right.
And so,
right.
It's a change of dispensation where we leave flesh and come back in the Holy Spirit in the New Testament gospel dispensation. So Jesus is telling the disciples, I've got to leave. You've had wonderful revival. I can imagine those disciples, when they were traveling with Him, they'd kick back at night and think, oh, what a day we had. And I can roll over here and go to sleep and not worry about anything because the Master's with us. Think about what it was like. Just think about the testimonies we know about people who were with Brother Branham. You'd feel that way because of that gift that was there. But think about that. And, oh, what a wonderful thing. And yet Jesus comes along and says, guess what? The sweetness of my presence being here with you is going to come to an end. It has to stop for a while. Everything goes in cycles. It has to stop for a little while. Because I have to go. And if I don't go, if I don't go, and if I don't suffer, and if you don't have sorrow, and all these things fill your heart that's going to make you sad, if those things don't happen, you'll not get to the place of what it is where your sorrow will be turned to joy, and no man can take that from you. So before you can reach that place where no man can take from you, like Mary, she chose that part that no one could take away. And Jesus said here to them that when I come back, your joy, your sadness will be turned to joy, and no one will take that joy from you. So that's the needful thing. But before you can get to that spot, sorrow has to fill your heart. That's what He's saying. So Jesus said, you will weep and you will lament. This is the part Brother Ram used for birth pains. You'll weep and you'll lament. And while you're weeping and while you're lamenting, the world will be rejoicing. That's what He said. So look at the contrast between believers and unbelievers. Because believers and unbelievers feed on two different things.
Right.
They rejoice in two different things.
Amen.
And when the world is happy about what they chase after, that means that the believer is sad. You're grieved when you see the world and your family and all going and chasing after the things that you know brings them to a bad end. Because
right.
You've been there.
Yeah, come on.
But you see, there's a difference there. And so He said, you'll weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. But the promise is that your weeping will be turned into joy. You must go through this road of this hard time, this cycle, this portion of the cycle. You know, in all kinds of science and nature and everything, there's sinusoidal waves. They're in waves, peaks and troughs. Mountaintops and valleys. And we all go through cycles like that many times in our life, especially probably about every 7 years and so forth, but we go through the same. Everything goes through cycles, and the trough is just as much part of the cycle as the peak is. The valleys are just as much part of your walk with God as the peaks are.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just as required, and maybe more required, just as important, that you go through things, make mistakes, have decisions that turn out to cost you to be wrong. They're still part of that walk. And you can't get to that mountaintop until you go through that. You can have glorious time before you have the next glorious time. You're going to go through a valley.
Right.
But it's still the walk. It still has to be there. Can't avoid it. But your joy, your sorrow will be turned into joy. So Brother Adam uses this and he talks about birth pains. And Jesus compares this in this scripture, this sorrow of Him leaving and the disciples having sorrow in their hearts and so forth and then coming back. Jesus said, it's like a woman who's going to have a baby. And when her time comes where she's having birth pains and all the things that go with it, and a man will never know that, what it is, but the sisters do. The birth pains that come and the cycles and each one more terrific and getting closer together. Brother Brandon describes all that, how that, but he said that it requires that to produce that baby. See, without the pains, without the cycles, without one blow after another blow, one trial after another trial, without that, you're not going to have the joy of the man-child being born.
Right, that's right.
And so Jesus is telling the disciples, you've got to go through this. And I'm telling you these things right now so that when that time comes, you won't be offended, and you'll remember these things, because shortly after this sorrowful time, joy will come, and when that time hits, no man's going to take it away from him.
Right.
Man. Amen. So Brother Bam talks about this, that it takes pain. And he parallels it and shows how that for an actual new birth, you know, any birth is a mess. As he said, whether it's in a hospital or in a pig pen, it's a mess. A birth is a mess. And there's pain and there's sorrow that has to come with that in order to have that life, have it come forth. And so that's the way it is. Life itself is a struggle. Life itself is cycles, up and down. Good times, bad times. Brother Ram talked about we'll have times where it just rains and pours. You have one medical bill and then something else, and the car breaks and something else, and then after a while you go along and everything's fine, and then here it comes again. We're all familiar with that because it's cycle. Music is cycles. Every one of those notes has a vibration of sine waves and a mixture of different ones and harmonics, but it's all timing and it's all peaks and valleys, every bit of it.
Right.
The music that we use in our voice, in our vocal cord, is all cycles. But look at the beauty of the cycles, what it creates. And if we could stand back with the mind of God and we could look down upon these trials of life and the cycles and all and what it's bringing forth, we could stand back and say, what a masterpiece.
Yes.
From this great one who orchestrates this, the composer.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
See, we want to look back and stand back and look through the eyes of God and see what it is that's going on. And though our life has cycles up and down, that perhaps He wants that in your life. A high-pitched note vibrates a whole lot faster than a low pitch. Someone might have a whole lot of ups and downs in their life, but here's somebody else that only just has just a little bit. He's the bass. He's a bass player. And you see what I'm saying? Everybody's got their part, and they're all playing the symphony of God, but it requires the low times in the high times. So Jesus is telling them, these sorrows, and he talks about it like it being birth pains. And Brother Brandon says, you know, that a new birth. You know, you can't just, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but you know, a woman can have a baby, she can be put to sleep, and they can just, you know, do the cesarean. Right? And though she has some pain and stuff from being sewed back up, she's not going through all those things as much, I guess. But God's way, natural way, is pain, is cycles, and sorrow to bring forth a man child.
Right.
And so Brother Ram goes through all that and shows you that if you want a real experience with God where you're really birthed, because once you're birthed, you're alive. And if what you're birthed with is eternal life, you can't die after that. And that's the needful thing, that we want to lay hold on the thing that matters, not the things that eventually fade away and disappoint us, but something that will endure, that will endure to everlasting life, something that will be there from now on. And a real birth that you can't just shake the preacher's hand and say, now I got a birth. Now everything's fine. That if you want the real thing, then you've got to cry out for it. You got to struggle and you got to seek after God and say, God, I got to have it.
Right.
And get to that place that you're serious with God. Because the scripture says the day that you seek him with all your heart, that's the day you'll find him. When he says with all your heart, that means you're willing to lay it all behind you. Everything you have and everything, all your reputation and all your habits and all the things you like to do, you reach that point where you're saying, God, I'm willing to give it all up for you. That's the day you'll find it. And I've talked to people before, said, I've tried and I don't get nothing. I said, no, there's something you're holding back. You're not giving him. Because the day that you give him all your heart, done. That quick. It's so fast. The way you can just so quickly all your past be gone just like that and into the presence of life. If you come the real way, come and just get down there and just cry out to God and have that birth. And it's maybe it's an altar or whatever, and it's messy when you compare it to just shaking the preacher's hand. Okay, now you're a Christian. That's pretty clean, right? But to get out of here and cry and whatever, whether it's at an altar or whatever in your own life, till you wrestle it out with God like Jacob. And you wrestle it like Jacob did, and when God finally touches you, your walk will be different.
That's right.
You won't walk with the world as with the strength that you used to before, because now you're limping in the fleshly things.
Right.
See? It's all right there and it's all true, but it requires a struggle. Life itself is that way. All through. If you go out into the woods and you see the white-tailed deer out there and him and his family walking around out there, you look at that and you know he's an overcomer. And you know that he is in something called habitat. That there's the things that he needs to survive is out there. And also the fact that there are things out there that try to destroy him, that he's an overcomer to those things.
Right.
He's an overcomer to the wolves that want to, or he wouldn't be there.
Right.
And no matter where you go and all the earth, and no matter whether it's a man or animal, I look at people live up in Siberia. And I say to myself, how? How do they live there? But they do. And the fact that they're there tells me that they figured out how to overcome that harsh environment. They are overcomers. And they have trials, and they have troubles, and they have bad times, and sometimes they're worse than other times. But they figured out how to be overcomers to every bit of those things, or they wouldn't be there. And that's what I want to show you, is that habitat. An evil spirit cannot live in your life unless you give him habitat. But it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. There's a habitat that the Holy Spirit can live and thrive in and wants to live and thrive in. I have no intentions of living in a house that has no roof. It's not a good habitat.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit has a habitat, and so the same thing, when you have things that are troubling you, it's because he has something. There's a reason why he can stay there. He can hide there, lay there, because there's a habitat. Because if there's not a habitat, they can't live there. Natural type spiritual.
Yeah.
And so, if you see a people who generation after generation after generation in the Mojave Desert, they've overcome. They know how to do it. And if I see believers that are in church year after year after year, they are overcomers. And I'm saying all this to tell you that's the only way it works.
Right.
If you're not an overcomer, you die.
Right.
If you don't figure out how to poke this stuff back in the devil's face with the anointing of God, he will always run rampant in your life. You'll always be hurting and sorrowful and unhappy. Right? But you've got to endure those times until you get to the other side when God drops something into your heart that stays there, and then cycles come, cycles go. No man can take that from you.
Right.
Amen? That's what you got to have. Because life is that way. They're all overcomers. But there is a law of God that says that you will possess the gate of your enemy after trial. That's a promise. As I've said so many, you know, Jesus said Revelation, Divine Revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That Satan wants to close you into his city and let the gates hold you in. And you can't get free as long as that gate is fortified. But But if you have revelation of the word in your heart, Satan can't bind you. He can try, he can mess with you, make you have bad days and all that, but he cannot bind you. He cannot put you in the prison of his enclosure.
Amen.
Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against revelation.
That's right.
That's the needful thing. Coming from Almighty God. And only revelation only comes from him. But he promised us that if we that we will possess the gate of our enemy. So even if the enemy, say maybe he's not trying to hem me up in his city, but he wants to fortify himself. And as long as I can possess the gate of my enemy, that's the weakest place of the city, is the gate. And if I can possess the gate of my enemy, then he can't fortify himself against me. And he can't fortify himself against my family or my church or your church. Right? Amen. So that's a law of God, but it only comes after trial. So Jesus warned of these things. Jesus warned them and said, these things are coming, but I want you to remember. And Brother Branham warned us of these things and told us that these birth pains, that in order for this world to give way to a millennium, that we're going to have a World War III. He said the one birth pain was World War I. And they had mustard gas and chlorine gas and looked like it was going to destroy everything. He said, then came World War II. And he said, this pain was even worse, an even stronger pain. And it had the atomic bomb. Well, now they got things greater and greater and greater, right? Back then, it was just a firecracker compared to what they have now. And so he says, see, and he said, all these nations that have these nuclear powers and all these things out there, and he said, they all know that this earth cannot stand the next one. Because the next one will cause them to bring forth. The next one will be a finishing off of these things as we know it. And so but it has to come. And we know that. The scriptures talk about it. Armageddon and all those things. We know those things. So he tells us these are birth pains. And they have to come. These hard times come. I was thinking about my granddad, whatever. Mary's dad. Yeah, she's my aunt. He was born in 1904. And he passed away in 1980. 80? Is that right? 80? Look at what he, 84, that's what I was thinking, because I graduated 84. So, yeah, he was 80 years old, 1904 to 1984. Look what he saw, born in 1904.
Yeah.
Influenza plague, you know, World War I, influenza plague, crash of the stock market, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, all the things, and went from horse and buggy just about, all the way to the cars. Look at the lifespan of everything. And he was an overcomer because he made it through all those things. I read about what happened with that influenza vaccine that was in 1918. And it's become more real to us now that we see what this little bitty thing we've had compared to that. It was little bitty, coronavirus, a little tiny thing compared to that. But in it, and I look back on that, and anybody that made it through that time was an overcomer.
Right.
And we know Brother Ram said that was a plague. Because when he poured out the Pentecostal movement and they made fun of it, and then he dropped his judgment upon them for doing that. Amen. But Brother Branham ties this and he says, we've got to have birth pains. To have a real experience in God, you've got to have a birth. And there has to be birth pains. But also that this world's going to have another birth pain. And it can't bring forth what the millennium and what we're looking for it to bring forth until this world has that.
Right.
But don't worry, it's part of the cycle.
Amen.
It's part of God's great plan. And just rejoice in it, just that part, just like you do the other parts of the cycle. So we realize that birth pains come. And there are things that we don't necessarily like. I ask you a question. The believers that live in Ukraine, are they going through a birth pain right now? Do you realize that there's nothing in this word, nothing in this message that says that you and I might not have to see the same thing here? Right? But I want to ask you, is our faith, and we rejoice in the peaks of glorious meetings,
right,
and all the things that God lets us be partaker of, but if that should happen in our soil, and we have to flee and go into some territory trying to get safety, you say, well, Brother Tony, we're Christians. So are they.
That's right.
Right, brother.
That's right.
It's happening to them.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And you say, they could look back and say, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But if that happened here, what would be our attitude? Have we reached that place in the real thing, the needful thing, instead of all the time, we're going to have great meetings and shout and rejoice, and that's fine, but while that's going on, are we really being settled down into the cycle plan of God?
Yeah.
Because those cycles come, and if that should come here, what would we, where would our stand be? Mm-hmm. Would we walk away and say, well, I thought the messages were right, I guess it's wrong?
Nope.
Those believers over there aren't.
Right.
That if anything, it's bringing them closer to God.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And I often wonder, and I think this many times myself, that things like that will have to come to really get this bride run together.
Right.
Because even in our own circles, in the circles of the message, there's too much division.
Too much. Exactly right.
Yes.
Too many big eyes and little ears.
Yes.
Right.
Too much chasing after personalities.
Right. Exactly right.
All of that. But I tell you one thing that could change that, if we were having to do what they're doing, it'd be a different story.
Right.
We would say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. If I could just run into a brother, praise God, now I've got somebody, I'm not by myself, but we got somebody that believes the same way we do. If it was so far, we get to come together every week. But what if you couldn't? What if we were scattered? And we all said, oh, I would to God I could be in church with the Weeders and with the Lanes and the Blacks and all of them. The Sharnacles, Robertses.
Right, brother.
Oh, I wish what it would be like.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, we have it all the time. See what I'm saying? That we should cherish this.
Yes, sir.
And that while these things are going on, we got to take care of stuff and we got to take care of natural things and make sure the bills are paid and instruments in tune and all these things like that. But while that's going on, let's make sure we're not so busy like Martha, chin-tin and all that we forget the needful part.
Yeah.
And that's to sit at the feet of the Word and let him put in us something that will carry us when this cycle goes low.
Good.
And that we'll remember at that time that we say, praise God, he said it was coming. He said there would be a squeeze.
Uh-huh.
He said they would shut the church doors. He said those things. Right. Praise God, we're still right on track.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
That's the way it should be.
Amen.
And so we believe.
That's right.
And always remember that when you're sick or when somebody else is sick, they need you to pray for them and vice versa. Always remember that because we're a body of believers.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So,
that's right.
While we're sitting and listening to the preacher and all those things, while we come, we want to make sure we're hearing the word and listening to those things.
Oh my.
Yeah. Amen. You know, there was an earthquake when Jesus died. And he went down into the lower parts of the earth, preached to the souls that are in prison. But we also know not only did he preach to the souls that are in prison, he preached to those who were him, part of him. Because when he came out, he brought them with him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 27:50.
Amen.
And when he came out, there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake when he went, and an earthquake when he came back. And I look at it like this, that when he left here, he changed dimensions, and there was an earthquake. And when he came back, right, there was an earthquake, changing dimensions. And we were not realizing the message. We had an earthquake, 1964 earthquake. Mm-hmm. And we know there's another one. And Brother Brown talked about it, how to preaching to souls that are in prison. That Jesus, he said, if you realize that down there, if we were in that dimension where those people were, that Christ would have descended from heaven. And then when he left there, he would have went up to heaven, because this earth is heaven compared to that realm, right? But there's a heaven, and Christ descend from heaven, right, to come and take a bride, and he's going to take her back. And I just always thought it was really interesting, a 1964 earthquake, and then we're looking for another earthquake there in California. And I know, Brother Branham, a lot of people say, oh, well, I heard a man say this one time. He said, if you hear that earthquake is happening and that California sunk off in the water, you've missed the rapture. But they're ignoring the quote where Brother Branham said, when he was there, he said, I believe that before the coming of the Lord, God will sink this place. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not to create confusion there, just to say, I want people to understand that the message does not say definitely that you'll be gone if that happens. For me, I look at it more as a cycle of something all kind of unfolding right close together.
Yes, amen.
Right?
Right.
But I won't throw that in there because I don't want people, because if you hear that it's happened, I don't want you to go, well,
no.
You got to have more confidence in the word than that.
Carry on.
Just like you say, well, he said something about a brown bear. That don't bother me one bit.
No.
Because I am quickened to the word, and I know this, yes, the word's right. Right? Right? And so you want to come to that place where you're connected to that needful part.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you don't question it anymore.
That's right. That's right.
That no matter what happens, God is with us.
Right. Yes, amen.
Amen. Because of what he's done, he's with us.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So let's make sure that we're listening to that needful part.
Amen. That's
amen.
Good.
May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come. He is God alone. I love that song. Maybe we can sing it again. I love that song.
Yes, amen.
And if I'm back there in the back a lot of times, but I usually say, and right now, you'll see me with my hands, and right now. And sometimes I'll say it, right now, in this room, in this service, he's God alone.
Amen.
We have to realize that he can stop missiles. He can make them not take off. He can make them turn around and go back to where it come from and blow up themselves.
That's right.
That's right.
He can make them just not work. He can move kings' hearts. He can stop say I got a loved one that's treating me bad or what. He can stop those things if he wants. And we have to be still and know that he is God.
Amen.
And he'll move these mountains when they need to be moved. As long as he's got a cycle we're going through, it's a cycle. When my wife and I had our first son, Joseph, and he died at birth, I've told you this many times. Going through that trial, and even the day we buried him, it was raining just all day, miserable day in January. When we got out there to the funeral, to the cemetery, while that was unfolding there, raining, I was thinking that in my mind, even the weather's testified, my son's gone. And I knew God could raise him up if he wanted to.
Sure.
But I knew God wasn't taking it. I was in the trial. Me and my wife, we were in the trial. And when Brother Sidney Dean stepped up into the pulpit with his guitar, my wife had asked him to sing that song, Sunlight. When he started singing that song, a hole opened up in the clouds like a spotlight. Shined right there on us. I mean, you were there, see? Shined right there, and when he finished singing that song, then it closed up. And to me, what God told me, what God spoke to my heart was that, son, you're in this valley, and I can't take it away from you. But I want you to know my eyes are upon you. So you go through trials, you go through valleys, you go through things that you don't want to go through. But brother, sister, if you're his child, you're his child. And if anything, that's showing you that you're a child. Because every child has to receive correction.
Right.
And he has access to everything in the world to use that as a tool to correct you. He can use Putin to correct you.
Right.
He can use the economy and COVID and your boss and your spouse and your children and your pastor.
Right.
and your brothers and your sisters, your own body, your own thoughts. He has access to all of those things to bring the correction that he might get you to that place where you know he wants you, and you know he'll get you there as long as you just surrender to him and trust him. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your blessings today and for this time to be set at your table and to speak and listen to the things that are written in your word and what has been given to us in this day. And Lord, we just ask that these things would go right straight out into the heart of your people. Lord, that it would lodge right there, that as they go from this place today, that they those things will remain there. Just like your anointing, Lord God, it just goes with us as we leave this place. And we ask, God, that these things would remain there in our hearts and they would ponder on them. God, they would use them and remember them. And that they would receive these things not as a man speaking to them, but as you speaking to them. Because it is your word. I haven't said these things, Lord, because they're my thoughts, but they come from your word. They come from this message that's shining light on this Bible. But God, that there is there's trials that we go through and hard times that we go through, but we're still in your program. We thank you, Lord, for these things and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship as we sing.
You are not a God.
Spending some time in prayer just for one thing, and that is to say, Lord, I thank you. If you think of everything in the world that he's done for you and say, Lord, I thank you. Start thanking him, start worshiping him, and see if he doesn't come and minister to your needs. We don't want to be about all it's all about is me coming here so I might receive a blessing. That's fishes and loaves, brother and sister. I just want me. What about what he needs?
Amen.
To worship him and praise him.
Amen.
Tell people about him.
That's right.
Because he's God alone. He's unshakable, unstoppable, yeah, unchangeable.
That's right.
I was telling someone the other day about, and some of you may know this, but I'll tell it real quick. Because if you don't, it's in the Only Believe magazine where I seen it. I looked it up for a guy at work. I was telling him about this. When Brother Branham spoke at that house meeting out there in Sierra Vista, I think it was, in Arizona. Little house meeting. He said, I like this house meeting. Sometimes, you know, it's better than these big places.
Right.
And when he was leaving that place, and the man, I guess, that lived there, he was coming out to open the gate. He said, Brother Branham just kind of stopped and had a greeting. And was kind of a little smile come on his face and said, God will work wonders among you. I mean, he's read the story. He said, God will work wonders among you. Years later, after Brother Branham was gone, one of their little boys was climbing on the house, and he fell off, and there was a piece of oil thread sticking up out of the ground. And that oil thread went right up through here by his belly button, went right up through his heart.
Yeah.
And right out here was just about sticking out of his neck.
Yeah. Come on.
And he was conscious, not crying. He just like hanging there. Took a while to get the ambulance there. They had to cut the piece off, and he was conscious, you know, like that. Went through his heart. And I was telling the guy at work, and I said, I went and I looked it up, and I read the article to him. Right? And so, like that, and everything the doctors, they said, is one in a billion, I think, was the number. One in a billion boy. He said, but he's awake all the time. He said, his mom said, I don't think he understands the seriousness of what happened to him. And they said it was amazing because his heart closed up around them threads on that steel pipe and he didn't bleed out. They said it was a miracle. And they unthreaded that rod out of his heart. They put him on a bypass so they could do that when they pulled all that out. But they said it's a miracle. Right there at that house where Brother Ben preached.
Wow.
Said, God will work wonders among you. They can make fun of this man if they want to.
Come on, brother. Come on.
But God was with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And he brought a message. God sent a message that man.
Exactly right.
That'll get you and I home.
Exactly right, brother.
Yeah. Don't ignore
it's
it.
Nothing like it, brother.
Embrace it. It's that beautiful part.
Yes,
and let's just sing this again. He's God alone.
Amen.